Callahan Show.
Golf, 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 more, more.
Welcome to the This Week in Golf podcast, and we are wrapping up the 2024 golf season, PGA Live. We're going to go through everything. I'm going to give you my three top players, and then we'll go through the we'll break down the top 10s of each of Live and the PGA Tour, and then some odds and ends deals. We'll go through the Live PGA deal, where that stands, and then kind of the end of the season, what the FedEx Cup and how Live wraps up their season. So let's go ahead and just get straight into this. Top three players overall for the year in golf is Scottie Scheffler, obviously. Xander Schauffele. I think that's kind of obvious. And Bryson DeChambeau. And let's break it down on why and what everybody did in my mind to get into that top position. Number one is Scheffler. Obviously, the obvious choice, everybody knows. But truly an incredible season. Let's break it down. Lowest scoring average ever, 68.01. 68. He averages 68 every time he plays golf, folks. So just an incredible season overall. Seven total wins and a lot of top 10 finishes as well. But he goes on this incredible run, basically starting at the beginning of the season, the Waste Management Open. He gets third. And then a few weeks later, he gets his first win of the year at the Arnold Palmer. And then after the Arnold Palmer, the very next weekend, he wins the Players. Then he gets second in Texas. And then he goes on to win the Masters the following weekend. And then, oh, I forgot. The weekend after the Masters, he wins the RBC Heritage. So basically in a five-week period of time, he wins four tournaments and gets second in the fifth. Truly incredible. And obviously, so he goes on after the RBC Heritage to win the Memorial. That's Jack's tournament. And then the Travelers. And then this last week, he wins the FedEx Cup. Pretty much, I think he wins by five strokes. He kind of runs away with it. Obviously, the best player overall for the entire season. And he's won something like $62 million. Again, most of these tournaments he won were the elevated events. And so those are like $3 million to the winner. Okay. Next, we have Xander Schauffele. Now, with Xander, you know, Xander's been great in a lot of majors over the last several years, but he hasn't broken through. A few seconds, few top fives, many top tens, but just never breaks through. And he's kind of ends up, you know, I was comparing him to a little bit to Phil Mickelson, how Phil used to be. Phil was always getting second in all the majors, but he never was winning. And the word on the street on Phil, the word on the street, or what people used to say is, will Phil ever win a major? And then he finally broke through. He wins a major, and then he just starts to win major after major. Every year he's in contention, and I think he's won five or six total now. But Xander has never broken through. And this year, Xander had a huge, huge breakthrough year. He wins the PGA Championship, and he wins the Open Championship. And the PGA Championship was quite impressive because, you know, he really had to sweat it coming down the stretch, and they got on the final green on the 72nd hole, and he has like a 15-footer, and I believe it was Hovland also had a similar putt, and I think it was Trevor Immelman was announcing, and he said, the make percentage on this putt of 10 feet, I forget what he says, but it's like 40%. He's like, but at this point, it all comes down to heart. And Xander rolled it in and had the impressive win. He got up and down on 17. He got up and down on 18. So just a great win for him to finally break through. And then he did it again at the British Open. And, you know, he's just had a lot of top 10s all season long, a very solid player. I was sitting in the bar the other night, and they were showing him hit a ball. And I said to the guy next to me, I go, watch this guy swing, how, like, nice and rhythmical and sequenced it is. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. Okay, the number three person on this list for the top players of the year is Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Bryson DeChambeau is like ranked, I think, ninth in LIV. But he won the U.S. Open in quite impressive fashion. It was a thrilling win. It came down to the last hole over Rory. Rory made some mistakes. But then when it was all said and done, Bryson had to get up and down from a bunker from 50 yards away. And he did. So he gets the win. But the most impressive thing about that tournament and why he's on this list, quite honestly, is because of his fame. You know, he is the most recognizable golfer out there today. Yeah, Scheffler won more tournaments on the PGA and made more money, but Bryson has become the face of golf. And particularly in that U.S. Open, he was engaged with the fans. They were chanting his name. He was very relaxed. It was very interesting. He was like using the fans to kind of spark his energy and his play that day. So that's what he did on the golf course. And then what he did off the golf course is almost even more impressive, is he started a YouTube channel. Now, the PGA Tour, the average person that watches the PGA Tour on television is over 65 years old. I forget the exact age, but it's over 65. It's close to 70. It might be over 70. And they want to attract a younger fan base. But their average people that watch it are quite old. And where are the young people? The young people are on the internet, folks. They're watching YouTube. They're on Twitch. They're on all your streaming services. And where aren't the PGA players? On the streaming services. PGA players don't have time. They don't have the team. They probably don't have the budget to actually create a YouTube channel. And if they did, the PGA Tour would probably shut them down. They don't want them creating content outside. PGA is a closed shop, as we've talked about over the past 2 years on this pod. They are 100% a closed shop. They control the product. It's their right to do so. But Bryson has the time, he has the energy, and he's taken the, it's not really a risk, but he's taken the effort to go out and create YouTube content. And the content's actually quite good. And okay, so here's what his YouTube is right now. He's got 1.4 million subscribers on his YouTube. That's more than LIV. That's more than the PGA Tour has on their channels. So he's already a one-man show. His videos, he's got 123 videos on his page. And the two latest ones that he's put out, the one he put out with John Daly, he's got something he calls the Breaking 50 series, where him and another player play from, I think, the red tees, and they try to break 50 on a golf course. So he played it with John Daly. That one got 5 million views. And then the one before that was with Trump, and that got 12 million views. And that's the lowest that he shot. Him and Trump shot 50. So these videos are getting views. Now, I don't have the exact breakdown, but if you have a YouTube channel, for every 100,000 views you get, I forget, I think it's a couple hundred dollars. So you can do the math on this thing. This guy's generating a lot of revenue from his YouTube channel. And he's not playing bad on the course. His team, the Crushers, is in first place in the team competition in LIV right now. We'll get a little bit more into that and what's happening with that team competition. But before we do that, let's break down the top 10s. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a chart side by side, or it would be nice if they took the top 10 from LIV and the top 10 from PGA and had a tournament, had a playoff. You know, that would interest a lot of people, I'm sure. But for LIV, okay, so here's how LIV breaks down, and this is based on their points. So LIV has one more tournament this year, and right now it is Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm is number one. In every tournament he started this year on LIV, his worst finish has been 10th. So he's constantly in the top 10, always in the top 5. He's only broken through in one tournament, and I believe, in my opinion, that he was pressing a little bit too hard. And he had some frustration on the course, which led to a lot of fake articles. Fake articles being he's not happy with LIV and he made the wrong decision and blah, blah, blah. Dude got $200 million. Then got $250 million. Yeah, I'm sure he's bummed about that. Come on, people. So Rahm is number one. Number two is Joaquin Niemann. Waco Niemann has won two tournaments. He won early and won two tournaments this year, or this season rather. And he's been a great player all year. So Niemann, Joaquin Niemann. Number three is Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton is also on Rahm's team. Tyrrell Hatton has won once. Number four is Sergio Garcia. Sergio has had a great season as well. He had a couple of second place finishes, and he's, for me, Sergio has been having a great year overall. He has one win, and he was in a playoff, and he lost in a playoff. I believe he did well at the Open Championship as well. So no shame on Sergio in the season he's having. Louis Oosthuizen is fifth. Him and then six is Cam Smith. Neither one of them have won this year on LIV, but they've just been playing consistent across-the-board golf. Brooks Koepka is number seven, and he's won twice. Dean Burmeister. Dean Burmeister is like 50. He's like a senior, and I don't know if he won the U.S. Open for the seniors, or he won one of the big tournaments that's not a LIV tournament. So all these guys, they're playing in a lot of other tournaments on the European Tour or the Senior Tour in Burmeister's case. Burmeister's won once, and I believe that one win he had on LIV was either the week before he won off LIV Tour or the week after. So he's been playing good. DeChambeau has zero wins. He's number nine. He has zero wins on LIV, but he did win the U.S. Open, and he's had a lot of top 10 finishes, and his team is tied for first. Or no, they are in first, but it's a very close race. We'll get to that in a minute. And then the final one is Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch was he was number one in LIV. Points-wise, he had the best season. He won a couple times. So this year he hasn't won, but he's still in the top 10. Okay, let's compare that with the PGA Tour. PGA Tour top 10. Okay, here we go. Scheffler, we already talked about him. He won seven times. He's got the best scoring average ever posted at 68. Great season. Second is Xander Schauffele. Two wins this year, but both being majors, PGA Championship and the Open Championship. Number three is Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama has had a phenomenal year as well. He's had two wins. Number four, Wyndham Clark. One win. Number five is Rory. Rory has had two wins this year. And, of course, the heartbreaking U.S. Open loss. So what are you going to say? He's number five. Everybody's got an opinion on Rory. Will he ever win another major championship? I don't know. It's not looking good for him. Although, I mean, he just tied for second. He could have won it, right? So six, Ludvig Åldberg. Ludvig hasn't won. Great swing. He's always there. Obviously, with the top. Well, he's sixth out of all the players in the PGA Tour. He's having surgery for meniscus, so he'll be out for a little while. Morikawa had a great season. He's seven. Sagith Tagala, great player. Love him. He hasn't broken through, but he got a top eight. And then Keegan Bradley is number nine with the win 3 weeks ago. And Keegan is also going to be, I believe, the Ryder Cup captain. So there was an interesting stat. It was like between the people on last year's Ryder Cup, Keegan Bradley has more wins in the last 2 years than like six guys that are on the team. It's kind of funny. And then finally, rounding out the top 10 for the PGA is Patrick Cantlay. So like I said, I mean, if you stack these names up, you know, Rahm versus Scheffler. Obviously, Scheffler had a better year, but that'd be a nice head-to-head matchup. You know, Xander. I mean, there's great names in here. Xander versus DeChambeau, Cam Smith. You know, it's too bad that LIV and the PGA can't make a deal. And that gets us to the next topic of what is happening with this deal. And the answer is absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing except for lack of transparency. Jay Monahan was up last week at the FedEx Championship, and he'd make a bad politician. He said absolutely nothing. And so there's nothing happening with that deal. We don't know. If at some point something happens and we have a breakthrough, I'll hop on and I'll do a podcast about it. But until then, there's nothing. Final topic, end of season competitions. Now, the FedEx Championship just ended. FedEx Championship is 3 weeks. The first week, there's 70 players. Then they cut to 50 players. Then they cut to 30 players. That's kind of how it operates. It operates end of August every year. It doesn't seem to have a lot of attention, following. People aren't watching it. So probably need to rethink something there. There's been opinions online. I don't really have an idea as far as what people should do or how they should do it, but it works to a degree, but it could be better. It could be a lot better, actually. I mean, just replace it with a major or something like that. Fifth major, or go against LIV head-to-head. LIV has one more tournament left. It's like September, the second weekend in September. So next, not this weekend, the following weekend. And then the weekend after that is their team competition. So they'll wrap up kind of the individual, and then they have this team competition at the end. It's a little confusing as far as what that team competition is on the final tournament of the year. I was actually at it in Miami last year. It was pretty boring because there were just so many gaps. It was hard to figure out what was going on. It was hot out there. So, but what LIV does have, though, that's interesting is this relegation process. So let me pull this up because it's pretty cool. So, okay. So they have zones. And so the top 24 players have a secure spot in LIV for next year. Okay. The next 24 players, they can face trade or release by their team. So, okay. So they're safe. That's called there's the lock zone. Those are the people, the top 24. The next 24 are the open zone. And then finally, we have the drop zone. And that's players finishing 49th and below are relegated out of the league. Now, let's just do a look and see who's on the fence or in that mix right now. Probably based on the numbers there. Okay, so here's the numbers of 49 and below. I'll just give you the big names or the names you might recognize. Brandon Grace, Bubba Watson, Anthony Kim. Most of these names you probably wouldn't recognize. Pat Perez is right on the cut line. Harold Marner III, Ian Poulter. Those guys are 46, 47, and 48. Phil Mickelson's 44. He's even kind of on that lower end of things. So based on what happens in this final week, I'm not sure if the team competition is going to count for the relegation, but a lot of things can happen here. So there's always this talk of like, what happens when a LIV player wants to come back to the PGA Tour? That's like one of the media is always talking about this as a sticking point as far as a deal goes. From what I can tell, nobody wants to come back. But in this case, like, what's Bubba Watson going to do, right? What's Pat Perez going to do? What, those guys are older, actually. But like a guy like Harold Varner III, he's still a pretty young guy. So where is he going to go play if he gets dumped? So it's interesting to see how that's going to break out. Who's going to get relegated? Who's going to come out? So they do have a process for that. I don't think a lot of people actually know that. But it is there. So that's wrapping up the season so far. Like I said, if anything happens between now and the next few weeks with a LIV and a PGA deal, if there's any exciting news, we'll jump back on the pod. But as of now, that's this week in golf. And that is the 2024 golf season.
Hey, it's Jeremy Callahan, and thanks for listening to This Week in Golf. Make sure and hit subscribe so you can get all the latest news and analysis from Golf BPM.